Create an inclusive, welcoming, and private space. Counseling spaces should be inclusive, welcoming, and private. The counselor may or may not have much control over the spaces used for counseling, as this is partly a function of the type of counseling practice involved. However, it is important to understand the ideals of such spaces so that the counselor will know the best ways counseling spaces and waiting rooms might be improved to make counselor-client interactions more effective. There will also usually be several choices that counselors can directly alter to help improve the quality of client interactions. In addition to considering traditional counseling spaces, some counselors will need to know how to get the best use out of alternative spaces, such as a shared conference room or a video chat. Counseling practices. The type of counseling practices where a financial counselor works has implications on the degree of control the counselor has over the counseling space. The counseling practice will also set organizational policies to which counselors must abide, in addition to AFCs needing to comply with the AFCPE Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice. The type of financial counseling practice may also impact other factors, such as perceived privacy or how much personalized attention a client will get. For example, a workplace wellness program such as an employee assistance program, EAP, may have financial counselors who focus more on providing group seminars, but may do individual counseling on video chat or phone. An EAP is defined as workplace benefit program designed to confidentially help employees deal with personal or work-related problems that might adversely impact their work performance, health, and well-being. Private, fee-based practices have counselors who are self-employed and may provide both counseling sessions and seminars. Nonprofit consumer credit counseling agencies or faith-based programs may provide a full range of financial counseling services. A consumer credit counseling agency is defined as a nonprofit organization that assists individuals in managing debt and improving their financial literacy through budgeting and repayment plans. Nonprofits may also have programs such as ones mandated for individuals seeking to file bankruptcy. Faith-based organizations may provide premarital financial counseling. Banks and credit unions may have financial counselors for customers by appointment. If a loan applicant is denied or a customer is overdrawn, the bank or credit union may refer the individual to the counselor. The counselor might be on-site or remote. The Department of Defense has a financial readiness campaign offering financial education for all service members. Some counselors work on military installations, and others work for military contractors. Other areas of government also employ financial counselors. The Office of Personnel Management for Federal Government Benefits and the Department of Veterans Affairs for Financial Literacy. Municipal governments may also provide services to their communities. Healthcare organizations or hospitals often have financial counselors who can help with billing, insurance, benefits, and financial resource evaluations. Similarly, colleges and universities have financial counseling for students related to student loans, financial aid, basic personal finance, and teaching. A counseling practice may be located in a community that has many members of a given culture or ethnic background, which may include recent immigrants. The practice will attract or deter potential clients based on its ability to offer culturally or linguistically appropriate financial counseling services. Any counseling practice needs to determine potential client needs, set its own mission, vision, and goals, develop counseling programs, identify staffing requirements, acquire appropriate facilities, develop counselor training programs, or allow for external training opportunities, determine how the practice will be funded, and provide support services for counselors. Counselors will need adequate time with clients and time between sessions. Counseling spaces. Counseling spaces should be designed to reduce client stress. A side benefit is to keep counselors satisfied in their jobs. Much like how a counselor cannot change one's attire for different clients, the counseling space also needs to be acceptable to as many types of clients as possible. For this reason, spaces, furniture, and art should convey a neutral message. The wall colors should be pleasing to counselors and clients and not jarring. The goal is to select colors that promote relaxation and reduce tension. Pure white or bare walls could make a space feel too sterile. A balanced amount of neutral wall decoration is useful. Examples include animals, landscapes, or family photos. Framed financial counselor credentials add credibility. Textures and furnishings can add warmth and comfort, and plants can also help. However, avoid overcrowding or making spaces appear too homey. A counseling space may be in a relatively new facility with new furniture and so on, or be older and less well-maintained. If the neighborhood facility or its furnishings are run down, clients may have concerns for their safety, especially at night. Similarly, parking or lack thereof could be an issue. These factors can be stressful, which can reduce client engagement. If this is a rundown government agency, clients will form opinions about the low priority these services seem to have in the community. Conversely, if the space is well maintained, it can help provide clients with a sense that the counselor and practice are credible and trustworthy. Inclusive and welcoming spaces can help or hinder the development of rapport between a counselor and client. Spaces are made inclusive and welcoming by being well maintained and neutral. Even a room with only a table and chairs around it could be perceived as stressful. Adding a couch or armchair to the mix, even if it is not used, can help reduce stress. The furniture should not be so comfortable as to lull people to sleep. If clients may have children with them, a small play area with a few toys in the corner goes a long way towards making the space feel inclusive. Another factor is the arrangement of the chairs around a desk, which creates different power dynamics between the counselor and client. Furniture that creates a barrier between the counselor and client, such as a large traditional desk, adds to an atmosphere of unequal power since the counselor is at their desk, perhaps with a nicer chair and a computer. Also, everything on the desk will be facing the counselor, centering the attention and the power away from the client. The desk and trappings become a symbol of power. If the counselor's chair is also facing the door, it adds to this power difference. A client who feels intimidated by the counselor or the space may not be honest about their financial situation. To convey equality in seating arrangements, the counselor has alternatives. Exhibit 1-1 shows an unequal power seating arrangement and several alternatives that have less inequality. Exhibit 1-1, seating arrangements and power. If the counselor and client are across from each other at one end of a table rather than at the center across from each other, this creates a feeling of equal power because neither is in a spot of authority. If the counselor's goal for the session is problem solving, then sitting side by side on the same side of the table conveys the impression of colleagues working on a problem. If the counselor's objective is developing goals, then sitting on two sides of a corner of a desk can allow a client to be partially shielded from direct observation, which may set some clients at ease. Clients may also have their own preferences for seating arrangements around a table, and asking about this is a form of empowerment. Since the goal is to create a relationship based on the concept of partners working toward a common goal, any seating arrangement where the counselor is sitting higher than the client and the client is looking up at the counselor should be avoided as it amplifies power differences. Chairs that differ in quality can also create power differences. Here are some other ways to create inclusive and welcoming spaces. Waiting areas. The waiting area is where the client makes a first impression of a space. A longer than normal wait will be perceived as an indignity. If a client has had a longer than normal wait, there will be worries about being forgotten, so a brief apology for the wait is in order. Windows and lighting. Windows that provide natural light plus soft or low artificial lighting help to create an inclusive and welcoming space. Ideally, the client is facing away from the windows to avoid distractions. Room temperature and humidity. Room temperature and humidity should be kept in normal ranges. Scents and odor. Clients may have sensitivities to perfumes or colognes, but air fresheners may help if there is an odor. Scent preferences are highly individual. The ideal odor is no odor or fragrance at all. Accessible spaces. Being inclusive includes being aware of the needs of clients with differing physical abilities. Can the facility accommodate a wheelchair or other accessibility devices? Is the meeting space on the ground floor, or if not, is there an elevator? This also includes considerations for the parking area, building entry, waiting room, meeting space, doorways, and restrooms. Does the counselor or counseling practice have a plan to accommodate clients who may have needs not accounted for by the limitations of the facility? For example, some differently abled clients may prefer to meet virtually. Another example is finding an accessible nearby community space to meet, such as at a library. Private spaces. An interview setting needs to provide physical privacy as well as psychological privacy. A room with a closed door can provide physical privacy, but thin walls or windows showing office hallways can hinder psychological privacy for clients. Psychological privacy is defined as follows: creating an emotionally safe space for a client to share their thoughts, experiences, and feelings without the fear of being judged. Being too near a receptionist desk or waiting room could also create perceived issues. Noise coming from outside the meeting space can convey a distinct lack of privacy to a client. Classical or other nonverbal music at a low level or a white noise generator could help. Online and alternative spaces. When financial counselors need to use video chat, phone calls, or other media to interact with clients, this can provide a degree of convenience for clients, including accommodating disabled or differently abled persons or persons from a wider geographical area. Many clients may strongly appreciate that they can schedule and attend a virtual meeting with far less hassle to their schedules. It could also help a person keep an established relationship with a counselor while the client is far afield, such as a military person on deployment. Counselors who primarily provide a virtual practice may also experience some work-life benefits. Counselors who are exclusively virtual could also avoid needing to acquire a physical office space. Counselors should take care to make the client feel that the meeting has the same degree of personal attention to detail as an in-person meeting. This extends to what is behind the counselor on camera and making efforts to prevent noises or distractions. The client should feel that this is their time and that the counselor is prepared. Here are some tips for creating a welcoming and accessible virtual space. The required technologies need to be as self-explanatory and user-friendly as possible and free to the client. How to use the service needs to be clearly explained to the client. The counselor needs to ensure that issues such as bandwidth or computer capabilities are not a concern for the given virtual meeting requirements. The counselor can use third-party virtual meeting services that are hosted by the service. Online technologies must provide sufficient privacy and security. Meetings should be started on time even if the client has not yet joined. A client may wonder if anyone will join the meeting if they are kept waiting. Counselors should decide work-life boundaries for when they will schedule meetings and when they will not. If a practice is to be primarily virtual, taking some time to figure out how to market these services to find new clients is vital. Building a rapport with a virtual client can follow the same advice provided in these materials. While there will be somewhat less nonverbal information gathered, with video conferencing, much of a client's and counselor's nonverbal information, such as facial expressions, can still be part of the experience. In addition to virtual meeting options, some financial counselors may need to get creative in relation to alternative physical meeting spaces. This could include using space at a library, renting out space on a per-use basis, or using a conference room. These alternative spaces could be used as a solution to a counseling space that does not seem private enough or has other detractors, or they could be used as a way to grow a startup private practice.